الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. الله أسأل أن يوفقني ويوفقكم لما يحبه ويرضاه وأن يرزقنا النية الحسنة. قبل أن نبدأ, let me speak in English. Almost everyone understands English. Before starting, let me draw your attention to a couple matters so no one would misunderstand what Haj Ali was already saying. The first matter is about acquiring the knowledge. I didn't attend since the beginning, so maybe what I will say was said by Haj Ali, but still I want to mention that acquiring the knowledge is not, and the purpose of it is not to become a scholar or to become a faqih. That shouldn't be the purpose. One should acquire the knowledge to get reward from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and to be accepted by Allah, to benefit himself, and afterwards to be able to benefit others for the sake of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But, so it is not, the purpose of it is not to become a scholar. This should be clear. And many times there is, some people say there is a thin line that can be crossed easily between being sincere while doing the good deeds and being insincere. So one should take care of that. This is one issue. The other issue is having some money to cover one's expenses while seeking the knowledge. For sure this helps. But this is not a condition. Some people, they spend their lives tricking themselves that they want to gather some money to seek the knowledge. Then once they have some money, they are stuck somewhere on the way and they cannot get out of it and they don't seek the knowledge. They don't do enough effort in that. Or sometimes they don't get enough money or the like. Some people are with firm intentions and strong determination, so they rely on Allah Ta'ala to seek the knowledge. If they don't have enough money for transportation, they walk. They travel walking. They eat whatever they can. Wherever they are, they work with whatever they find to eat, to satisfy themselves just enough. And they continue their way. They don't carry clothes, a lot of clothes. Some people, maybe you didn't see people like that. You didn't meet, maybe. But there are people like that. They were, they existed, and they still exist. They have one clothes, what they wear. And whenever they have the chance to wash it, they will do that. And wait until it dries, then they wear it again. And they do that so seeking the worldly matters do not stop them from seeking the knowledge and getting the reward from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So, in brief, two issues. First, to be sincere, because becoming a big scholar is not a target in itself. This is not the target. The target for us should be to gain, to be accepted by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In the way, in our lives, there are always traps that one needs to avoid. Sometimes it's much better for the person not to be addressed and not to be asked about many issues, because this person wouldn't be qualified enough to avoid the traps that usually accompany these matters. And some people, it would be much better for them to be asked, because they know how to, Allah enables them to avoid these traps, to benefit themselves and benefit others. So one's aim should be to be accepted by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to do what's best for him. And usually, one is in need for the advice of others on this path. Usually, one does not differentiate well between what is better for him and what is not like that. Usually, because we have many feelings in our hearts, we have our nafs, there is a shaitan that interferes. All these factors, they interfere. So one needs usually the help of others, and this is why Sheikh Ali mentioned Suhbat al-Ustaz, to be with someone who directs you, with a teacher who directs you. Especially for us. I mean, now when I talk about us, I mean the small circle of the people who are here, who acquired a certain amount of knowledge, and compared to other people, they appear to be like, compared to many people, they appear to be much more knowledgeable. We lack this issue. We lack it. We are not on daily basis, or usually we don't consult others on what we do for several reasons. One of them, the United States is far away from where the scholars are, And the second reason is the way that many people are raised and how many people around talk, they insist on this issue of individuality and doing what you like to do, etc., what you lean towards, etc. You know better than me about that. And because there is a need to teach many among us, like myself, teach while if there were qualified, really qualified people to do that, highly qualified people, my situation would be to sit in their sessions and listen to them and not to teach. But because there is a vacuum, and this vacuum needs to be filled with what's beneficial, many of us, they teach, and with that there is a danger. Because if, let's say, if Al-Imam Malik, for example, and you know who's Malik, if Al-Imam Malik did not start to teach others except after many top scholars told him that, do that, you are qualified for it. Top scholars. So if Malik did not do that except after consulting these people and them advising him to do it, then what would be like our situation? Most of us didn't consult anyone, and they do not. On what they do, what they teach, etc. I'm not trying to put you down, no. But it's a dangerous issue for each of us and for all of us that we need to really be careful about it. Because once we die, we are there with what we did. We cannot go back to fix anything that was done before. خلاص. And whatever harm we do and we cause for others, many times it would be very difficult to fix it. Every and each wrong answer, every and each bad advice, every and each bad example, every and each harmful statement or doing. Sometimes it would be very difficult to fix that. So we need really to be really humble with what we do and to seek the help of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala so we do not go astray. I saw people, I personally knew people that I never imagined that they would at any time say a statement or answer to a question. How do I say it? In a way that does not comply with the rules of the religion. But then I saw them going astray slowly. Starting going astray with thinking about themselves highly, not to listen to others, the advice of others, act individually. I saw certain things from them and I tried to advise. I tried and other people tried. They did not listen. With time, one of them ended by running a bar. Another person ended by dealing with usurious gains. A third person ended by, I was told about him by several people, trustworthy people, that they heard him committing blasphemy. They did not, they tried to advise him, they did not accept the advice. Even I was present when Sheikh Abdullah sent couple people to him to advise him, and he did not, he came back and said to Sheikh Abdullah he did not accept the advice. And some of these people, like this person, used to eat a little, to sleep a little, to do a lot of optional acts of worship. He used to memorize more than one book, one matin among the books of Ash-Shara'. He used to teach. Then he went astray, as I told you. And it started with this. He started to backbite some people and to think about highly about himself in a wrong way, and it continued. So, Allah yubarik fikum. We need to be careful about this. This is one issue. The other issue, we do not, it is not, maybe some among us somehow, it is late for us to do certain steps. I wouldn't say it's late, but maybe somehow some of us are trapped in a situation where they cannot take some steps in to seek more of the knowledge and benefit more for themselves and others. But we need to be careful how to deal with others and not to discourage them or to give them wrong advices about this issue. We as Muslims, we are much more in need of people who know the religion and its rules in a very good way, much more than our need to any other type of studies. Much more. Nukmil, let us continue from where we stopped. Some scholars in the past, when they were seeking the knowledge, 1, 2, sometimes 3 days they wouldn't eat because they did not have money. Nothing. Just to eat anything. But they were patient with it. They relied on Allah Ta'ala. They were patient with it. They tried and they continued. MashaAllah. One time, Shaykh Abdullah, rahmatullahi alayh, he spent the whole night under the rain. Squatting and under the rain because there was no shelter and no place to go. We spent the whole night like that, squatting under the rain. And he continued his way to seek the knowledge. So if anyone waits until he gets a huge amount of money, that would be enough for him for 10 years and to travel and to eat and to wear and to change clothes, etc., and to spend his time in good hotels or the like, then he can continue dreaming until he dies without going to seek the knowledge. So usually this is how it goes. طيب. Can I say one more issue? There is a big difference between someone who spends his life learning and teaching for the sake of Allah, learning the knowledge of the religion and teaching it, spreading good among the people and standing against evil for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, and someone who spends his life. Sorry, I know many among us are in this situation, but I'm mentioning it so we can help others to avoid the traps in which we were trapped. And someone who spends his life teaching mass, or working in a shop, or having a big business, there is a big difference between these two people. Let no one trick him or herself otherwise. There is a big difference between these two people. Yes, some people, they are clever enough to have a business. They can manage and to seek and teach the knowledge. They don't let this issue consume their time. But they are few. They were few during the times, and they are still few. So if we cannot go this way, let us advise others and try our best to direct others to seek this way. This is what we need most. And this is the proper way for the sake of Allah and not for any other reason. طيب. وصلنا إلى الآيات المحكمات والمتشابهات. So we are at one more issue. Weigh what other people tell you. Weigh it. If you are dealing with someone like Sheikh Abdullah, rahmatullahi alayh, just go as he tells you. When you are sick and you go to a good doctor, really good doctor, you don't discuss with him. Yes, no, why? Even if the good doctor commits sometimes some mistakes, this is where you should go if you want to seek the remedy, not any other place. But if you are not dealing with someone like Sheikh Abdullah, if you are dealing with someone like me, for example, so think about what this person tells you. Where does this lead you? What is he telling you? Is he showing you what is best or better for your religious situation or not? Is he showing you what is religiously better or not? Is he capable to do that or not? Sometimes you hear a wisdom from a crazy person. You take it, don't reject it. But think about what you hear from others. And don't just rely on what you think. If you need to think about what you hear from others, someone might say you need to think twice about your ideas. Be careful. Because the results of this issue, you are the first person that is going to be affected by them in this life and in the hereafter. So you are, think properly so you can be on the proper path. It's your path, it's yourself that you are seeking to save. Barakallahu feekum Haj Ali. I think he was doing mashallah, he was trying that. Allah yubariku feehi. We'll see, Fawzi. It's a short time. We need to finish something. We need to. Allahu alam. Allah, there was an opportunity. Allah yassiru lana al-khayr. طيب الآيات المحكمات والمتشابهات. This is a title of new paragraph. The verses that are explicit and the verses that are mutashabih. لفهم هذا الموضوع كما ينبغي يجب معرفة أن القرآن توجد فيه آيات محكمات وآيات متشابهات. To well understand this subject, one has to know that in Al-Quran there are verses that are muhkama, explicit, and verses that are mutashabiha. قال تعالى هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه بابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب. هذه الآية في سورة آل عمران تدل على أن القرآن فيه آيات محكمات وفيه آيات متشابهات. The verse that I already recited, which is the seventh verse of Surah Al Imran, indicates very clearly that in Al-Quran there are explicit verses and there are muhkama and there are verses that are mutashabiha. ووصف الله تعالى الآيات المحكمات بأنهن أم الكتاب معناه أصل الكتاب الأصل الذي ترد إليه الآيات المتشابهات. In this verse Allah mentioned that the verses that are explicit muhkama are Ummul Kitab. This is the term used in Al-Quran, the term mentioned in Al-Quran, Ummul Kitab. That is, Al-Kitab means the book. Ummul Kitab, the base of the book. So these verses that are explicit are the base of the book of Al-Quran. Which means the other verses should be always interpreted in a way that complies with this base. They are, these explicit verses are the reference of Al-Quran. وَبَيَّنَ رَبُّنَا عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أن هناك أناسا يتبعون الآيات المتشابهة بقصد تفسيرها تفسيرا يجر إلى الفساد فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ هناك أناس في قلوبهم زيغ عن الاعتقاد الصحيح هؤلاء من جملة ما يفعلون أنهم يتتبعون الآيات المتشابهة لأجل ماذا؟ الله قال ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله. يتتبعون هذه الآيات المتشابهة لتفسيرها على غير معناها طلبا للإفساد والعياذ بالله تعالى. Allah also mentioned in this verse that there are people who have illnesses in their hearts. These people, they follow the mutashabih verses with a purpose. Their purpose is to misinterpret them in a way that leads to misguidance. الله قال وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله. هنا في هذا الموضع هناك قراءتان، قراءة بالوقف على لفظ الجلالة فيكون المعنى أن لا أحد يعلم تأويل المتشابه إلا الله تعالى، لا أحد غير الله يعلم تأويل المتشابه، الله ما أعطى علم تأويله لأحد. والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب. أما الراسخون في العلم، الأقوياء في العلم، المتينون في العلم، فيقولون نحن آمنا بهذا، آمنا بالمتشابه كما آمنا بالمحكم. المتشابه وحي من الله، والمحكم وحي من الله، نحن نؤمن بهذا ونؤمن بهذا، ولو لم نعلم تأويله، تأويل المتشابه نحن نؤمن به. على هذه القراءة، على حسب هذه القراءة، ماذا يكون معنى المتشابه وماذا يكون معنى كلمة تأويله؟ على حسب هذه القراءة يكون معنى المتشابه الآيات التي جاءت في مثل وجبة القيامة وخروج الدجال، هذه الأشياء التي مثلا، أو خليني أوضحها أكثر، على حسب هذه القراءة يكون معنى المتشابه مثل الحروف المقطعة في أوائل السور، ألف لام لام ميم، هذه الحروف المقطعة في أوائل السور. لا أحد يعلم تأويلها، كمان كيف بدنا نضبطها حتى أريد أن أذكر عبارة تكون سهلة. طيب نرجع للعبارة الأولى، أسهل أسهل. يكون معنى المتشابه الذي جاء في مثل وجبة القيامة، يعني متى تقع القيامة، متى تكون القيامة، متى يوم القيامة، وخروج الدجال ونحو ذلك. هذه الآيات لا يعلم تأويلها، أي لا يعلم موعد حصولها إلا الله تعالى. فالتأويل هنا معناه وقت الحصول، أليس قال الله تعالى يوم يأتي تأويله، يوم يأتي موعد حصوله، يعني التأويل معناه موعد الحصول. فعلى حسب هذه القراءة الآيات الواردة في القيامة والدجال وما جاء في نحو هذا لا يعلم موعد حصوله، لا يعلم تأويله، لا يعلم موعد حصوله إلا الله تبارك وتعالى. أما الراسخون في العلم فيقولون آمنا به، نحن نؤمن بذلك وإن كنا لا نعرف متى يكون.
أما الذين في قلوبهم فتنة ماذا يفعلون؟ يتتبعون الآيات المتشابهة مثل الحروف المقطعة في أوائل السور، يريدون أن يحسبوها مثلا، هذا حصل في الماضي، بحساب الجمل حتى يعينوا موعد قيام الساعة، أو يريدون أن يحسبوها بحساب الجمل حتى يعينوا موعد خروج الدجال أو ما شابه ذلك. هذا يكون معنى الآية على حسب قراءة الوقف على لفظ الجلالة. إذن على قراءة الوقف على لفظ الجلالة معنى الآية إن أن القرآن فيه آيات محكمات دلالتها واضحة، وفيه آيات متشابهات فيها ما لم تتضح دلالته. الذين في قلوبهم زيغ يتتبعون المتشابه، يريدون أن يعرفوا متى موعد حصوله كيوم القيامة وخروج الدجال، مما لم يطلعنا النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام عليه، اللهم أطلعه على ذلك، فهو لم يطلعنا عليه. أما الراسخون في العلم فيقولون هذا لا يعلمه إلا الله، نحن نؤمن بما جاء في القرآن محكما كان أو متشابها، ونقول هذا موعد خروج الدجال ووجبة القيامة وما شابه ذلك لا يعلمه إلا الله تعالى. هذا يكون المعنى على حسب قراءة الوقف على لفظ الجلالة. In this verse there are two ways in reading it that were revealed to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And it means where to stop. There are two ways, both were revealed to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام about where to stop while you are reading this verse. According to one recitation, you stop at the term illallah. The meaning would be, according to that, in Al-Quran there are verses that are muhkama, explicit, and others that are mutashabiha. Those who have bad convictions, they follow the verses that are mutashabiha to misinterpret them. So they misguide some people. As for those who are very strong in the knowledge of the religion, they say no one knows ta'wil, the ta'wil, we'll get back to this term, the ta'wil of al-mutashabih except Allah Ta'ala. So they do not claim that they know the ta'wil of the mutashabih verses as those who have the bad conviction do. Rather they say, no one knows the ta'wil of al-mutashabih except Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And we believe in both kinds of verses, whether muhkama, explicit, or mutashabiha, because both are revealed by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now, according to this recitation, what would be the meaning of ta'wil, and the word mutashabih would refer to which type of verses? The word ta'wil in this, according to this recitation, means the time of happening. So the meaning would be only Allah, those who are firm in the religion, they say only Allah knows the time of happening of these issues. We believe in the verses referring to these issues just as we believe in the explicit verses, because both are revealed by Allah, even if we do not know the time when they happen. And the issues mentioned in this verse, meant by this verse, the issues to which the term mutashabih refers are like the day of judgment, like ad-dajjal, the appearance of ad-dajjal, because these are matters that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not inform the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam when they would occur. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not inform us when they would occur. So those who are firm about the issue of belief and about the religion, they say we believe in the day of judgment. We believe that ad-dajjal will appear, even though we don't know when this is going to happen. Only Allah knows when it happens. As for those who have ill convictions, they might follow, go back to certain verses in Al-Quran, like the verses at the beginnings of certain surahs in Al-Quran. Don't you have letters at the beginning of certain surahs, different surahs in Al-Quran? Alif, Lam, Mim, Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Sad, etc. You have letters. Some people in the past, during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, some people who had ill convictions in their hearts, they went to these letters, to these verses, trying to calculate through a certain method when the day of judgment would occur. When the last Muslim of this nation would die. When these issues will happen exactly. We should not do that. So this is the first interpretation of this, or this is the interpretation of this verse according to the first way of reciting it. هذا تفسير معنى هذه الآية بناء على القراءة الأولى على حسب القراءة الأولى التي هي قراءة الوقف على لفظ الجلالة. واضحة؟ Is it clear? الآيات المتشابهة على حسب هذه القراءة ترجع إلى مثل وجبة القيامة وخروج الدجال. واضح؟ ومعنى التأويل فيها موعد الحصول. الذين في قلوبهم زيغ يتبعون المتشابه لتحديد وقت حصولها. أما الذين هم راسخون في العلم فلا يفعلون ذلك، إنما يقولون الله وحده يعلم موعد حصولها. واضح؟ Is it clear? هذا بناء هذا على حسب القراءة الأولى. This is according to the first recitation. According to this first recitation, this verse, the term متشابه in this verse refers to matters like the day of judgment, the happening of the day of judgment, or the appearance of a Dajjal, and the like. Matters which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala did not inform the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when would they happen. The term ta'wil mentioned in the verse refers to specifying or determining the time of happening of these matters. Those who have ill convictions in their heart, they try to use certain verses in Al-Quran to determine the time of happening of these issues. Those who are firm about the knowledge of the religion, they do not do that. Rather, they say only Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows about that. We believe in both types of verses, but we do not try to determine when the day of judgment happens, etc., because only Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows about it. This would be the meaning according to this first interpretation. Wadih, is it clear? هذا التفسير منقول عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه. This interpretation is narrated from Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه. على حسب هذه القراءة according to this recitation. هنا هذا مهم فهم معنى هذه الآية مهم. It is important to understand the meaning of this verse. Some people they don't know how to interpret it. And some people, so they fall into misguidance because of that. So it is important to understand it. هناك قراءة أخرى للآية. There is another recitation for this verse. الوقف فيها ليس على لفظ الجلالة. You do not stop when you are reading at the term إلا الله. إنما يكون الوقف فيها على لفظ العلم. But you stop at the term العلم. فتقرأ هكذا ولا يعلم وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله والراسخون في العلم. تقف هنا. So you recite it this way. وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله والراسخون في العلم. So you stop at the term العلم. فيكون المعنى أن الله تعالى يعلم تأويل المتشابه والراسخون في العلم أيضا يعلمون تأويله. So the meaning would be Allah Ta'ala knows the ta'wil of the verses that are mutashabiha, and the people of knowledge, those who are strong about the knowledge of the religion, they know also the meaning of the mutashabih. وهذه القراءة قرأ بها من جملة من نقلها مجاهد تلميذ ابن عباس. This recitation was copied from مجاهد by مجاهد, the student of Ibn Abbas. That is from the companions from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فماذا يكون معنى التأويل هنا وماذا يكون معنى المتشابه. So according to this recitation, what would be the meaning of تأويل and what would be the meaning of متشابه. المتشابه هنا يكون معناه ما لم تتضح دلالته لأنه يحتمل في اللغة أكثر من معنى. على حسب اللغة يحتمل أكثر من معنى. فيحتاج إلى النظر لرده إلى المحكم وحمله بالتالي على الوجه المطابق. المتشابه according to this recitation means the verses that if you refer only to the language, if one refers only to the language, can bear more than one meaning. So one needs to refer to the verses that are explicit and to think properly about them, so one would infer to them the proper interpretation. فيكون معنى التأويل تفسير الآيات على غير المعنى الظاهر الذي هو لا يوافق المحكم وإعطاؤها معنى حملها على المعنى الذي يوافق المحكم. So the term ta'wil here would refer to infer a meaning to these verses other than the apparent meaning that does not comply with the explicit verses. To infer a meaning other than the apparent meaning because the apparent meaning does not comply with the explicit verses. So to infer to them a meaning that complies with the Arabic language and the explicit verses and the rules of the religion. إذن يكون المعنى على حسب هذه القراءة الذين في قلوبهم زيغ يتبعون الآيات المتشابهة التي تحتمل بحسب معنى اللغة أكثر من معنى ليؤولوها ليفسروها على غير الوجه المطابق للآيات المحكمة أما ولا يعلم تأويلها أي الصحيح على الوجه المطابق للآيات المحكمة إلا الله والراسخون في العلم. الله يعلم تأويلها الذي هو موافق للمحكم وأيضا الله أعطى علم ذلك للراسخين في العلم فيعلمون تأويلها على الوجه المطابق. هؤلاء الراسخون يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا. نحن آمنا بالقرآن المحكم والمتشابه نؤمن بالاثنين كل من عند ربنا لأننا نحمل المتشابه على ما يوافق المحكم ولا نضرب هذا بهذا فنؤمن بالمحكم والمتشابه. هذا هو المعنى على حسب القراءة الثانية. So the meaning according to the second recitation would be those who have ill beliefs, they follow the verses that can have, according to the language, more than one meaning to misinterpret them. So they misguide some people. As for those who are firm in the knowledge of the religion, they do not do that. Allah Ta'ala knows the meaning, the proper interpretation of these verses, and Allah gave these people this knowledge also. So they know the proper interpretation of these verses. So those who are strong in the matters of the religion, they know the proper interpretation of these verses. And they say, we believe in both the muhkam verses and the mutashabih. Why? Because when they interpret the mutashabih verses, they interpret them in a way that complies with the muhkam verses, with the explicit verses, and does not contradict them. So really, they believe in both of them. As for those who interpret the mutashabih in a way that contradicts the explicit verses, really they do not believe in the explicit verses, because they are saying, they are inferring meanings to verses to Al-Quran that goes against the meaning of the explicit ones. So this would be the meaning according to the second recitation. واضح? Is it clear? طيب. مهم معرفة هذا لأنه في أيامنا بعض الناس يوردون هذه الآية يستعينون يوردونها ليوقعوا الناس في التشبيه يوردونها ويسيئون تفسيرها ليوقعوا الناس في التشبيه. I'm saying it is important to understand well this matter because nowadays there are people who mention this verse, they don't have enough knowledge, so they don't know the real meaning of this verse. So they mention it and they misinterpret it. And by this they take themselves and they take sometimes others into misguidance. ماذا يقولون؟ يقولون هذه الآية فيها منع التأويل بمعنى منع حمل الآيات المتشابهة على خلاف الظاهر. يقولون أليس الله قال وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله؟ إذن غير الله لا يعلم، إذن لا يجوز تأويل الآيات الظاهرة الآيات المتشابهة، بل تبقى على حسب المعنى الظاهر. These people say, didn't Allah say وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله؟ This means no one knows. They say this means no one knows the meaning of the متشابه verses except Allah. So we leave the متشابه verses. We interpret the متشابه verses according to their apparent meaning. Even if this apparent meaning contradicts some explicit verses, they say we interpret them according to the apparent meaning, and whomever tries to interpret them in another way, he is talking without knowledge, because Allah said no one knows ta'wil هذه الآيات, the interpretation they say of these verses, except Allah. As you can see, they do not know about, well, let's say that they do not know. This is what I think. Some might know, but they do not know about the two recitations, and they do not know about the others. So they don't know about the other recitation, which says وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, in which it is mentioned that those who are strong in the matters of the religion, they know the interpretation of these verses. So they misunderstood the verse and they misinterpreted it. هؤلاء أساءوا فهم الآية وأساءوا تفسيرها وقادوا أنفسهم وغيرهم إلى الضلال والعياذ بالله. تفسيرهم يناقض القراءة الثانية للآية التي فيها وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله والراسخون في العلم, لأنها تثبت أن الراسخين في العلم يعلمون التأويل, لكن هم لا يعرفون بهذه القراءة الثانية, أو يعرفون الله أعلم ولا يظهرون. ليه؟ لأجل ما في قلوبهم من المرض. So as you can see, this interpretation that some people follow, now when we give examples, this will make it more clear, lead to misguidance, because they know no one knows the interpretation of these verses other than Allah, so we interpret them according to the apparent meaning. By this, they are negating, as if they are negating the second recitation, that confirms that some people know the interpretation of these verses. But they don't know about this second recitation out of their ignorance. Or maybe they know. But because of the illness in their hearts, they don't want to confess about it. والعجيب في هذا الأمر أنهم يثبتون أن لها تأويلا لا يعلمه إلا الله ثم يقولون نحملها على الظاهر كأنهم يعني يقولون معناها هو المعنى الظاهر مع أنهم يقولون لا يعلم معناها إلا الله لكن هكذا شأن المبتدع دائما يتناقض. What's amazing about what they say is that they claim that these verses have meanings that only Allah knows. But then they say, we interpret them according to the apparent meaning. So one time they say, only Allah knows their meanings. And another time they say, we take them, we interpret them according to the apparent meaning. Isn't there contradiction? There is. But this is how the people of misguidance, this is their habit. Always they fall into contradiction. إلى هنا واضح. Up till here, is it clear? مثلا مثال ما نتكلم عنه الآية التي فيها وجه ربك مثلا هؤلاء المبتدعة يقولون هذه الآية متشابهة لا يعلم تأويلها إلا الله إذن نحملها على الظاهر لكن ما هو ظاهر الوجه أليس ظاهر الوجه ما هو المعنى الذي مستعمل عادة في الأكثر في كلام الناس أليس ظاهر الوجه هو هذا العضو فكأنهم يقولون الله تعالى له هذا العضو An example of what we were saying is that the ayah in which it has in it وجه ربك These misguided people say that we interpret it according to the apparent meaning. But the apparent meaning of the term wajh in Arabic, that is the meaning by which the meaning which usually this term is used to refer, is the face. So if they say we go according to the apparent meaning in interpreting this verse, as if they are saying Allah is attributed with this organ, which is the face. This is what they say. وَهَذَا يُنَاقِضُ الْآيَةَ الْمُحْكَمَ لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ And this contradicts the explicit verse that says لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ which means nothing resembles Allah by any means. أَمَّا أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ فَيَقُولُونَ وجه ربك لها معنى يليق بالله ليس هذا العضو As for أهل السنة they say the term وجه ربك has a meaning that befits Allah it does not refer to this organ to the face وبعضهم الله أعطاه علم هذا المعنى فيقول معناه كذا and some of their scholars Allah gave them the knowledge of what would that mean. So they precise the meaning. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ لَا يُحَدِّدُونَ And a lot among them, they do not precise. لَكِنْ يَقُولُونَ لَيْسَ الْمَقْصُودُ هَذَا الْعُضُوَ But they say it does not refer to the face. كلمة وجه لها في اللغة العربية معان. The term وجه in the Arabic language can have several meanings. على باليقين ليس المقصود بها الوجه. For sure, it does not refer to the face. لكن لها معنى يليق بالله. But it has a meaning that befits Allah Ta'ala. وبعضهم عين, and some of them they specified. قالوا الآية فيها ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. الوجه موصوف في هذه الآية بأنه ذو الجلال والإكرام, ولا يوصف بذلك إلا الله. إذن وجه الله معناه ذات الله. And some of them they specified the meaning. They said the term وجه is attributed in this verse with the term ذو الجلال والإكرام. And this verse ذو الجلال والإكرام does not refer to other than Allah. So in this verse, وجه means the self of Allah, because it is attributed with ذو الجلال والإكرام, and no one would be attributed with that other than Allah Ta'ala. So الوجه refers to Allah تبارك وتعالى, and this complies with the Arabic language. وهذا يوافق العربية ويوافق الآيات المحكمة, and it also complies with the explicit verses. لأجل ذلك عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنه كان يقول أنا من الراسخين في العلم. This is for such meanings عبد الله بن عباس used to say about himself, أنا من الراسخين في العلم, which means I am among those who are very strong in the knowledge of the religion. That is, he knew about the interpretation of these verses. MashaAllah. واضح, is it clear? Share it. منه آيات محكمات وأخر متشابهات. الآيات التي تتكلم عن ذلك يعني. ما لا يصح في اللغة, لا يصح. أنه ربك, لفظ ربك مجرور, لو كان ذو الجلال والإكرام يرجع إلى ربك لكان ذي الجلال بالجار, ما كان بالرفع. بما أنه مرفوع إذن يرجع إلى المرفوع, والمرفوع هو الوجه. يا علي, we will stop here for now. If you have questions, go ahead. Allahu ta'ala a'lam. Tafaddal Ali. Now, there are two ways of reciting this verse copied from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. That's what it means. So sometimes he stopped at this word, sometimes he stopped at that word, regardless of which recitation you follow when you are reciting. What? Yeah, I said it's copied from Mujahid. Mujahid, the student of Ibn Abbas, said that. At-Tabari narrated it, for example, يعني, and others. Faddal Salah al-Din. الأم التأويل الإجمالي والتفصيلي سنتكلم عنه إن شاء الله، سيأتي بإذن الله. تأويل الأقوياء في العلم. No, both are recitations mentioned by the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. So why to give more weight for one over the other? One can follow either one. What does it mean to give more weight? This was revealed to the Prophet, and this the other one was revealed to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. I didn't understand. سبب النزول of this ayah. Here it doesn't have anything to, يعني it doesn't. لا ما بيأثر على اللي عم نقوله. It doesn't affect what we are saying. وفيكم. تفضل أبو ساوي. وفيك. ما بدي جاوب. الله يبارك فيك. بده تفكير الجواب أكثر من أنه قوله دغري. تفضل أبو عمر. مجاهد هو تلميذ ابن عباس. ما فهمت أبو عمر. لا لا، تفسير الأول، تفسير الأول. تفضل أبو العز. وموعد الحصول. تأويل معناه موعد الحصول، والمتشابه يرجع إلى الآيات التي تتكلم عن وجبة القيامة ونحو ذلك. لا بس في هون كلام سألني أبو سابية، أحتاج أني أفكر أكثر قبل ما أجاوب. هلأ ضيق الوقت حتى ما بستبجي جاوب. تفضل حاج أبو صلاح. ما حاجات بعد؟ الله يرزقنا وفيك. تقدير هم يقولون ما على ايش يعترض؟ تقدير هم يقولون، يقولون هم ضمير مستتر، او يعني التقدير هم، وهو يرجع إلى الراسخين في العلم. قصده شو؟ قصده قصده أنه هذا منه فصيح، هيك قصده؟ يعني قصده أنه في قراءة أنزلت على النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، قرأ بها النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، ونقلها الصحابة، ونقلها التابعون الفصحاء، وهي من فصيحة ولا يكتمل فيها المعنى. عرفت، بس هو هيك، بس هذا مؤدى كلامه. هو أفهم
جاء بيعرف له كلمتين عربي. الله يرحمنا. تفضل تفضل نبي. أكثر من معنيين في له، أكثر من ذلك غير ذلك، له أكثر من معنى. نعم، يأتي بمعنى تحديد موعد الحصول، ويأتي بمعنى إعطاء اللفظ معنى غير المعنى الظاهر، ويأتي بغير ذلك أيضا، له عدة معاني. وفيك على حسب اللغة له عدة معاني. وائد one moment, but I want to say one more thing. If anyone at any time dares to tell you this second recitation is does not in the Arabic language is not a proper way of talking according to the Arabic language, don't keep silent. Tell him, so you are claiming that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam recited with a recitation that does not have a proper meaning in the Arabic language, and the companions narrated it from him, and the followers of the companions narrated from him, these people who were very knowledgeable, and they knew really the Arabic language, not like yourself. They didn't know what is proper and how would it be proper in the Arabic language, and then you come to claim that it is not correct Arabic. Whomever dares to say that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, the companions and the followers did not know correct Arabic, and now he knows, this would be a very, very arrogant person, very deviated and very arrogant person. تفضل يا رائد. And it's amazing, some people they talk about Al-Qur'an, interpreting Al-Qur'an, and as if they know, while they don't know Arabic. I don't mean people who are not Arabs, whether they are Arabs or non-Arabs. Many Arabs, they don't know the Arabic language properly. Most of them. Sorry, brothers. I'm including myself. Yani, just so don't... تفضل رائد. لا، الاشتباه في الموعد، الموعد عدم وضوحه، لا يعلم متى. ثم فيها ما هو غير واضح الذي هو موعد الحصول، غير معلوم لنا الذي هو موعد الحصول. العرب يتكلمون هكذا. فيكم كلاهما عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. بدا أكثر من هيك حكي، يعني مثلا لو قرأت بقراءة حفص، أو ما بيقولوا لك في مواضع الوقف جائز، الوقف واجب، يعني هذا سواء قرأت بهذه القراءة أو بهذه القراءة، يجوز لك أن تقف هنا ويجوز لك أن تقف هنا. هذا ورد عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، وهذا ورد عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. تفضل. قراءة الوقف على العلم. يختلف المعنى على حسب الوقف. نعم، ما
وهذا ليس غريبا، ببعض يكون في بعض القراءات الكلمة تقرأ بالجمع، في بعض القراءات تقرأ بالمفرد، ما أنه غريب، يختلف المعنى على حسب القراءة، ما فيه شيء غريب. تفضل. حروف من حروف المعجم، حروف من حروف المعجم، فيها إشارة إلى أن هذا القرآن كلماته مركبة من هذه الحروف، ومع ذلك أنتم عاجزون أيها الكفار عن الإتيان بمثله. The letters at the beginning of certain surahs, they have an indication that the words of Al-Qur'an or the verses of Al-Qur'an are composed of these letters. And despite that, O you blasphemers, you cannot author a book like this book, although these are the same letters that you use when you speak. So it has an indication to that. It's your language, and still it refers to the Arabs at the time who were blasphemers. And you cannot come up with a book similar to this book. حساب الجمل ما شاء الله طريقة كان يحسب بها العرب في الماضي يستعملونها. الألف أبجد هوز حطي كلام إلى آخره. الألف معناه واحد، الباء اثنان، هكذا. In the past the Arabs used to use a way to represent numbers by saying words. So the letter ألف they used to consider it to representing one. با 2، جيم 3، دال 4، etc. They had a way. So if you say the word abjad, for example, so 1 plus 2, 3, plus 4, 7, that would represent 7, etc. So they had this way was called حساب الجمل. Abjad, yeah, 4 letters. Sorry. So, واحد واثنين وثلاثة ستة أربعة عشرة. The sum would be 10. Sorry. نعم. مجاهد له مجاهد عن ابن عباس أخذ القرآن. إذا لا 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 إذا قيل قراءة، لأن قراءة القرآن مرجعها إلى النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، أما قد يقول أشياء يفسر باجتهاده. تفضلي. متشابه يس. Not the people, a certain type. The Jews tried to do that. Yeah, they were the Jews. They didn't believe in the first place in Al-Quran. And some of them, they knew that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was truthful and they did not want to believe in him. The Jews who did that. Fikum. What's that? Mutashabih verses. Is there verses that are mutashabih that refers to the whole verse? Let me think about it and review. For sure that are verses referring to the rules that can bear more than one meaning and not referring to the matters of the belief, for sure. But are they meant here or not? I don't remember. I need to review. Ya tafaddal. فتنة في الدين هذا هو الضلال يعني هل ما سمعت في قلوبهم زيغ كيف لا بلا شك بلا شك تفضل هم كاذبون يقولون الكلام ولا يعنونه أنت قل لهم يعني تقولون الله تعالى له وجه ليس هو جارحة ليس جسما وجارحة وجزءا هون المحك لا يرضون أن يقولوا نعم فهم يقولون ليس كوجوهنا تدليسا بس حتى يضيعوا الناس ليجلبوهم إلى عقيدتهم لأن هذا الكلام الناس يألفونه فيبدأون به حتى يجلبوهم إلى عقيدتهم وإلا هم كذابون لا يعنون معناه الحقيقي تفضل وبك منهم في الماضي ما أعرف أنه حصل الذي حصل أيام النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام حصل من قبل اليهود أما من ينتسب إلى الإسلام لا أعرف هم منهم بلا شك ليس يتتبعون المتشابه ليفسروه على غير معناه الصحيح لا شك أنهم منهم تفضل هذا سنصل إليه إن شاء الله يأتي إن شاء الله تفضل نفس السؤال اللي سألني يا أبو سابها هذا جوابه مؤجل الله يبارك بكم طيب بارك الله فيكم نهلل